Not our will, but yours be done. Come and change us. Not our will, but yours be done. Come, sustain us. Not our will, but yours be done. Come and change us. Not
our will, but yours be done. Come, sustain us.
Sing that out.
Not our will, but yours be done.
Come and change.
Come and change us.
Not
our will, but yours be done. Come, sustain us.
Dwell in the mist. Dwell in the midst of us. Come and dwell in this place. Dwell in the midst of us. You can have your way.
Dwell in the mist. Dwell in the midst of us. And wipe all the tears from our faces.
Wipe all the tears.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear, for I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God.
Chosen me, your love has called my name, and I've been born again into your family, and your blood child of God.
Hey!
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears have drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God.
Oh, I am a child of God.
Yeah, I am a child of God.
Hallelujah.
Every week. Amen. So we're still in the thick of our current sermon series, Reclaiming Jesus. And we've been covering some important issues such as economic righteousness, and we talked about inclusion for all. And so today's emphasis is going to be on service. And the scripture reading for this morning gives us clear indication of what that means. For as followers of Jesus, we are called to serve rather than to be served. It doesn't quite jibe with today's culture, right? Well, the passage being shared comes from the Gospel according to Mark, and it's chapter 10, verses 35 through 45, and the translation is from the New Revised Standard Version. And I'll now invite Beth Mueller Ford to come forward and share with us today's scripture. The verses will be shown on the TV monitors. And again, Mark 10, 35 through 45.
James and John, Zebedee's sons, came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They said, "Allow one of us to sit on your right and the other on your left when you enter your glory." Jesus replied, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or receive the baptism I receive?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said, "You will drink the cup I drink and receive the baptism I receive. But to sit at my right or left hand isn't mine to give. It belongs to those for whom it has been prepared." Now when the other 10 disciples heard about this, they became angry with James and John. Jesus called them over and said, "You know that the ones who are considered the rulers by the Gentiles show off their authority over them, and their high-ranking officials order them around. But that's not the way it will be with you. Whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the human one didn't come to be served, but rather to serve and to give his life to liberate many people." Mark 10, 35 through 45.
Thank you, Beth. And may God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Amen. In today's scripture passage, we have two sections, and in the first part sets up the second part, and I love this image that you see before you because that's the child's excitement is very apropos. Because you see, we start off with the sons of Zebedee, and they've come forward to Jesus, and they're seemingly out of sight and out of mind of the other disciples. And what James and John ask of Jesus made me laugh. It's sort of like what you see on the TV monitor. They're like, gotta have it children than the messianic candy store. Because what they say is, "Teacher, we want you to do for whatever we ask." And it's like, seriously, come on, dudes. step it back. Now, of course, I gotta admit, I'm gonna have to fess up. When looking in the mirror of self-reflection, I've done the same exact thing. Sort of like this, saying something along the lines of, Lord, I ask you to do exactly what I want, because you know what? It'll be good for you, and it's gonna be good for me. Win-win. Right? But now let's look at Jesus and see how he replies to them, because it's very interesting. He doesn't lay into them. He doesn't immediately cause in and say, I'm judging you. What he does is he calmly responds to the two disciples, and he actually replies to their self-centered request with a question. And he says, well, what do you want me to do for you? Here it comes. Power grab. Here's the power grab, right? The sons of thunder say, allow one of us to sit on your right and the other on your left when you enter into your glory. Now, in the South, we'd call this, you're getting too big for your britches. Basically, James and John are requesting the top places in Jesus's administrative cabinet. And oh, they're not being fussy about it. They don't care which one sits on the right or to the left. All they want to do is be in power positions alongside Jesus. And another way to look at their power trifecta request is, hey, when you're in power, that means we're in power, and whoo, it's going to be good to be served. And it sort of reminds me of a line from the Mel Brooks movie, which indicates my age. It's good to be king. Oh, now watch out now, you know, because if it were up to us, we all know what we would be doing and happen, because there's going to be a serious come to Jesus meeting, right? But no, still no. Because there's a different kind of Jesus come to Jesus meeting with a pointed reply of, you have no idea what you're asking. Oh, James and John, they think they do, because they respond to the cup and baptism question with an affirmative, we can. But in actuality, they've got no clue. They have no clue whatsoever. And they haven't given any time or reflection to really think about what they're doing. And it's all about, all they're doing is they're saying, yep. They haven't ardently prayed about that and reflected about it. And Jesus, what he does is he replies to them and he says to them, well, indeed you will. Sort of along that category of careful what you wish for. But isn't the next part, this is what I found interesting, is that next part. Because then he says, because you would think that the Messiah, Jesus, could grant anything, right? But then when they ask, and that the question that they said, he tells them, he states otherwise when it comes to who's going to sit on his right or to his left hand. Instead of it being one of the disciples, which you think it might be, we later find out that who sits to his right and his left are two criminals, the lowest of the low, those looked upon as being unworthy. So what we have is we have these first six verses in today's scripture passage where the emphasis is placed on power and control, connections and position, and dare I say, let's throw in some wealth into the mix. And those very same wants and desires can be considered under the category of back then as it is now. And ooh, don't you know, oh man, when those other 10 disciples heard what had happened between James and John and Jesus, they were not happy about that at all. But given the rest of the gospel account, I have to believe that their anger really didn't arise because of having different values. I don't think it was about values. What I think is those disciples were raging mad because the sons of Zebedee had beaten them to the punch. Unfortunately, by the two brothers' actions, the community is fractured and divided. The ugly head of divisiveness has now arisen, and of all the times, this is when Jesus really needs their support. He really needs their love. Lord, please bring forth the balm of Gilead. And wouldn't you know it, that's what he does. Which leads us to the most important and significant part of today's message, because how are we to be in service for a greater purpose? Jesus reminds us and reminds the disciples that Israel is experiencing severe oppression. And this is at the hands of Rome. And what he does is he reiterates, unlike those rulers, don't lord it over anyone. And what he's saying that is to the disciples and to the followers of Jesus, don't lord it over anyone. They, which includes we, are here to serve, not to be served. Whoever wants to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the human one didn't come to be served, rather to serve and to give his life to liberate many people. Now, for some of you, you may be sitting there going, I prefer a different translation. I'm thinking maybe you should be talking about the New Revised Standard Version part where the particular word change isn't liberate. For example, in that translation, the verse states, for the Son of Man came to be served, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So instead of using the word ransom, why have I chosen to use liberate? Well, for one, if we get down to the bare bones of this word and apply it to service, then ransom for others is an action that liberates a particular people. Yet this word ransom, from a traditionalist conservative viewpoint, conjures up what is known as the atonement theory. And this is in which Jesus, as a sacrificial lamb, had to die and give his blood for the whole of humanity to be saved due to our sins. Personally, I prefer what was shared in a message by John Dominic Crossan and the late Marcus Borg, and both of these are scholars and theologians as well as prominent voices in progressive Christianity. And this is what they wrote. The Greek word translated as ransom, lutron, that's L-U-T-R-O-N, is used in the Bible not in the context of payment for sin, but to refer to payment made to liberate captives, often from captivity in war, or slaves, and those were often in debt slavery. A lutron is a means of liberation from bondage. So if we look back to the first century, slavery was widespread. It was a Roman institutional in practice in which individuals were made captives. And we're not talking by their free will, anything but. And we're also not talking that these were unskilled manual labor slaves. These slaves also included individuals who were highly educated, physicians, accountants. All of them were treated as property. Just like women, they had no legal personhood. And what Jesus did here is actively challenge the existing oppressive system, and he called it out by being an example to serve those in need, to serve the vulnerable, to serve anyone and everyone, but not to be placed on a throne as a king to be served and catered to. That was not about Jesus there. He wanted to be a slave for all, and to be a slave for all cannot mean subordination and servitude to powers that impede God's purpose. Amen? For Jesus, his nonviolent movement brought us and brought to us so that those evil systems that and structures that were in place during that day and time would come to halt. Jesus was sent to bring in a new order with the real possibility of peace, joy, and love for those who would choose to follow him. My friends, it's not about where we have our place and our seat in ministry, is it? It's not about being and having the amount of influence over others that we can gain. It's not about power and control. It's not about our needs. It's about their needs. It's about the needs of the lost, the lowly, the last. Jesus tells us to liberate those who've been held captive by society and the systems of this world in which we live, to improve the lives of those who are poor, those and all the ways that they suffer. but also those who are disenfranchised, those who are marginalized, those deemed as lesser thans, the ones that 99% of humanity would rather just ignore and pass by, leave them on the sidewalk. It is incumbent upon us in Reclaiming Jesus to acknowledge and embrace that Christ's way of leadership is servanthood, not domination. By doing this, by living in this manner, let me ask you a question. What would it look like if we were to live as one in Christ Jesus? To give our lives to service. Because we must be mindful of the lessons that John Wesley taught, to live lovingly and justly as servants of Christ by healing the sick, feeding the poor, caring for the stranger, freeing the oppressed, being a compassionate presence, and working to develop social structures that are consistent with the gospel. That's living as one in Christ Jesus. In giving of our lives, though, oftentimes we make service a lot more complicated than it has to be. And like the Reverend Mark W. Stamm, who authored our membership vows, this is what he shared in his book, and I like this. The key to being faithful is showing up. Putting our bodies in places that people are in pain, putting ourselves in places where people are lonely, setting another place at the table for someone who's hungry. So much of faithfulness in the Christian life and in Methodist life is an extension of that. We find our life in self-giving love. We find our life in self-giving love. The key to being faithful is showing up. That's two great statements of life-fulfilling for you, for me, and for others. As part of the clergy team of Hollywood UMC, we seek a variety of ways to serve on the front lines with you and behind the scenes. Some of the examples, I want to give you some of the examples of your clergy's involvement. Reverend Kathy being one of the founding organizers for the Hollywood Forward, and this is four walls, a roof, and a door, whose aim is to end homelessness in Hollywood, to end it, not to manage it. And she also now serves on the Los Angeles County Mental Health Commission. And Rev. Denise, well, she leads an interfaith discussion at the LGBT Center in Hollywood with youth and young adults who are unsure of where God is in and bringing God in their LGBT identities to connect. And next Sunday on October 21st, she's leading an effort with AIDS Walk Los Angeles for Hollywood UMC. And I'm involved, just so you know, I'm involved with disaster relief efforts for the California Pacific Conference, and I'm anticipating those efforts are going to soon include connecting with those who have been gravely affected by the hurricanes Michael and Florence. Also, I'm a board member, as I'd mentioned earlier today, I'm a board member on the Greater Toluca Lake Neighborhood Council, and I'm part of an ad hoc homeless team for supportive housing in Toluca Lake, as well as in the Los Angeles City Council District 4. And while we answer our call, to serve others, so many of you are doing phenomenal work, and we are so proud of you. We love the way you are showing up. At Harmony, we have some amazing and dedicated volunteers that have helped out and connect with life-fulfilling organizations such as Operation Gratitude and LA Kitchen, the Ronald McDonald House, and to assist the Toluca Lake Fire Department fundraiser that we had with for the widows and orphans and disabled firefighters. I'm joy-filled when I witness others stepping up, such as Mary Amerson. Mary Amerson is so delightful, and she feels called for an even broader positive impact that goes beyond the church. It's for her whole personal life. And Mikel Barlow, want to give him a shout out too. Where's Mikel? There he is, yes. Because he approached me because he felt led to connect with 412, and that's our young adult ministry, and what he wanted to do is assist and be a mentor for them, to be of service for them and for God. Or when both of our campuses have come together to dress up compassion bears for the USC Pediatric AIDS Clinic. Or when we've come together to prepare UMCOR health kits or to assemble the hygiene kits and provide the backpacks and school supplies to LAUSD Homeless Education Program. And of course, there's the love that is provided to our homeless guests over there at the Hollywood campus on Tuesdays for the homeless. As a community of faith and honoring the call that we've been given, we are to serve. The needs and opportunities, they're there. But also, bring your ideas forward. We want to hear those. Let's see what we can do together from a place of service and love toward our divine creator and one another. Let's give of ourselves on behalf of others. And may Jesus, Lord Jesus, help us to see how to do that and for love and courage to arise within us to be shared in this way, now and always. Amen. Amen.
Put your hands together, come on. Sing for the praises of man.
For the praises of man, I will never ever stand. For the kingdoms of this world, I'll never give my heart away or shout my praise. My allegiance in devotion, my heart's desire in all emotion. Go to serve the man who died upon that tree.
Only a God like you.
Only a God like you could be worthy of my praise. All my hope and faith to only a King of all kings. Do I bow my knee and sing, give my everything? Only a God like you could be worthy of my praise. All my hope and faith to only a King of all kings. Do I bow my knee and sing, give my everything to only
bless.